Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Mission Marks Live. Excuse me, sorry about that. Welcome to Mission Marks Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 10th, 2015. Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 619-4886. Now, there's another way that you can get prayer requests, and we simply ask that you can send an email with your physical address on it. We'll take it to the Mission Church and in prayer circle. We will anoint it with oil, and we will pray over it, and then we will send it back to you if you so choose. You can also do that by sending a prayer request in the United States Postal Service. Believe it or not, folks, that system still works. For those of you out there, I know so many people, all you do is hit email, or I guess text. I guess email went out. It's more of a text thing now than an email thing. But there is a thing called the United States Postal Service, and it still works. And I really like the Postal Service. In all the years that I've used it for ministry outreach and everything, it has not went out. I really had nothing fail from it. And so I believe it's a safe thing. Anyway, so pray about it. And anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address. in your mailing address, which is at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. Go over there and check it out and see what you can do. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest, because I really want to get into this program tonight. There's a lot to talk about. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. So please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, folks, we really are seeing the world in chaos, or as I say, turmoil. We've recently seen the world going crazy as the Middle East is on fire. We're already in sort of a proxy war with Russia, as Russia fights for Assad in Syria, and the USA backed the falling of Assad and wants a new Syria. Basically, the people fighting against Assad are ISIS. In fact, they went on TV, or video, I called it TV, but they went on video the other day bragging about all the new high-tech weapons they got. Guess what? They were American weapons. It's so easy that we could become in a real war instead of a proxy war directly between the United States and Russia, as America has, well, a failed leader. Russia claims that it does not rule out using nuclear tactical weapons against ISIS. In fact, Russian nuclear policy is to escalate, to de-escalate, meaning that they believe it's okay to use nuclear weapons to devastate or scare the other side into ceasing a war against them. And yes, they mean that with the United States and NATO and anyone else. In fact, they have nuclear weapons on alert because of ISIS. That was the last that I read. It could change as things in the news cycle changes every minute. Anyway, so we've seen another terrorist attack on American soil, and it's billed as the largest attack on homeland since 9/11, and that would be the original 9/11, the towers. But folks, I'm here to tell you, other than that, there has been other attacks on American soil. Sheriffs and some religious leaders are calling for Americans to arm themselves. As the White House says, we need to what? Disarm. Really, it's crazy. Trump says stop Muslims in the coming into this country until we can figure out what's going on, or at least a way to vet them. That really sounds reasonable, or at least some kind of a check. Some say that it's unconstitutional. I look at the Constitution, as some others did, and technically it is constitutional because immigrants coming into this country don't just have the constitutional rights that all Americans have. And so, yes, if he wanted to put a religious test on it, it is constitutional. But that isn't even our answer. Our leadership is the answer. Anyway, so where are we at? It seems that will we even make it till Obama gets out of office? Because daily it seems like he makes America more unsafe for real red-blooded Americans and not foreigners. Anyway, tonight's guest is Pastor Carl Gallup. He's been on with us many times. Of course, he's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host, heard nationally and internationally. He does TV, radio, guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, which gives him a unique perspective into some of the things that he talks about. He's the founder of PNN, or PPS Simmons News and Ministry Network, and a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written several books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, and his new book, that if you don't have it, I really strongly suggest you should get it. The newest book is called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble. And that really seems to be where we're at. So, welcome back now, Pastor Carl Gallup. You were with me, Carl.
Pastor Dan, thank you so much for having me. Hey, listen, I'm always thrilled when I get the call that you have invited me back on your show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carl, you know, like I said, you have a unique perspective for some of the things that are being talked about because you used to be a former law enforcement officer, and right now, we do see, and I know you even commented on it at WorldNet Daily, that, you know, sheriffs are calling for Americans to arm themselves. While the craziness, you see the other side saying, we need to take away all guns. Where are we at? And in that perspective, how do you feel also about this new attack, you know, that they're calling as the biggest attack since 9/11?
Yeah. Well, you've asked me two different questions. I know they're related, so let me take the first one first. You said, so where are we at with this apparent dichotomy between the clarion calls right now? One of them, you know, Second Amendment, arm up. Sheriffs are calling for people to arm up. Ted Cruz, a presidential candidate, called for people to arm up. Lately, the president of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr., Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, and I appeared in a headline WND article backing Jerry Falwell on that. And I had quite a few comments to make in that article that we can talk about. But so you've got that. Americans, you know, gun sales are going through the roof. Americans are arming up and have been arming up and are clinging to their guns and their religion. Us, you know, we bitter clingers. So you've got that. And then, of course, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got major media, Hollywood, government officials, politicians calling for more and more gun control laws, tighter gun control laws. And so you've got this big divide. But now, here's my assessment of it. First of all, we who support the Second Amendment, right now we are on the winning side. That is, the law and the law of the land as it stands right now is we have the right and the responsibility to own a firearm, to carry a firearm, to defend ourselves and our loved ones first and foremost. That's not a law we're trying to get passed. It's not an amendment we're trying to have added to the Constitution. It's a 250-year-old amendment and law of the land, and we stand on it. Supreme Court rulings, just only 4, 5, 6 years old at the most. We've got 2 or 3 that support the Second Amendment as in being interpreted that individual, personal Americans, individual citizens, we can own firearms. It's not just for a militia. It's not just for military and police. It's not just for hunting. It is for personal protection. And the Supreme Court has ruled just in the past handful of years. So we're on the winning side right now. The problem is, as with every freedom in any nation in the world, but particularly the United States, where we are the most free nation in the world still, believe it or not, with all the freedoms being snatched away from us or intruded upon, as with all amazing freedoms, you have to defend them. You have to be vigilant. You have to be involved. You have to stay engaged, or evil will overtake you, and wicked people will take your freedoms from you. And there really is none, humanly speaking, more precious than the First and the Second Amendment. Our founding fathers knew that. They lived under tyranny for many, many years. So they understood that if you can't speak freely, if you can't worship freely, if you can't operate the presses freely, if you can't gather and have meetings freely, if you can't redress your government and speak to power, truth to power, then you are nothing more than a slave. And if you can't defend those freedoms and your own protection, then you are nothing more than a sitting duck. So the First and the Second Amendments are precious, and they are powerful, and they are what make us distinctly Americans. They are why millions of people are beating our borders down every year to come here, because you can't live like that anywhere else in the world. So the bottom line is, the evil forces are always going to be trying to take our ability to defend ourselves. Why? Because they're really concerned about gun violence in America? Absolutely not. Statistically speaking, our gun violence is not that terrible. Now, we are the number one gun-owning nation in the world, but we don't even make the top 10 list of the number of violent gun deaths among the population. So what's up with that? Well, you know, when you consider all the freedoms we have and the power we have as a nation, a lot of people link it directly to the statistical amount of gun ownership. So it's not about decreasing gun violence, but as you know and I know, and we've been talking about this and your audience knows, gun control attempts are nothing less than trying to disarm the vast population of America that owns firearms so that America can be brought under submission to the evil people who wish to rule us. That's what it's about. And America gets it. We know it. The sheriffs know it. Politicians know it. Jerry Falwell knows it. And so we've got to stay vigilant, brother.
Absolutely. And I'm glad to see, the sheriffs coming out and tell us to arm ourselves, because, it's consistently over and over. Where does these things happen? In a gun-free zone. You would think under normal thought process of people that, and say, well, gee, if it always happens in a gun-free zone, maybe the logical thing to do is to have no gun-free zone. But that left logic just, it drives me insane, because it's like they don't care. I don't get it. How can they be so disconnected?
Yeah. Well, listen, brother, you're not going crazy. They are insane. You are not. They are. They're down Alice in Wonderland's rabbit hole. You see it. You have the Holy Spirit of God within you. You don't have the spirit of fear, but you have the spirit of power and of love, and watch this, and of a sound mind. But they have been given over to a depraved mind. Their thinking is evil only all the time. They hate God. They hate the Word of God. They hate the people of God. They hate the things of God. They hate the Son of God. And they hate America that stands for the Word of God, that part of America, that part of America's history and heritage. So that's what it's all about. It's very spiritual. It really is. And our ability to own guns, carry guns, and defend ourselves with guns keeps us from being totally crushed and destroyed by the dark powers of the world. And so, you know, that's what it is about, Brother Dan, and you know that. And so, you know, I know sometimes we scratch our head and say, what are they thinking? Well, but they're not thinking like you and me. They're not thinking about protection in America. And see, the hypocrisy is this. These same liberals, they protect themselves, I promise you. Either they own firearms or they have bodyguards who do, particularly the important ones. These liberals do not live what they preach. You know, they want us to disarm, but I promise you, they don't have a sign in front of their house saying, my home is a gun-free zone. You know, come on in, talk to my children and my wife. We don't have any guns here. I guarantee you they don't do that. And they won't do that, but they want you and me to do that. So it's not about reducing gun violence. It's about this evil agenda to capture America, to enslave America. I mean, that's really what it's about, plain and simple. Gun-free zones, by and large, are an absolute absurdity. Let me give you an example. Do we have a minute?
Yeah, we've got 5 minutes or six.
Okay, I can do this in 2 minutes. Let me just give an example. Okay, I'm a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. I've been involved in active shooter situations. I've been shot at, and I've had to shoot at other people in the line of duty several times. I taught firearms safety and firearms operation in the Florida Police Academy for a couple of semesters 1 year. So I know what I'm talking about. I've carried concealed firearms for decades now, legally. And so here you've got Carl Gallups, just turned 60, 40 years of life experience, 10 years as a law enforcement officer, actually having been engaged in shootouts, a decorated law enforcement officer, and my state tells me I cannot have a gun on a school campus concealed. Now, wait a minute. You trust me in the mall, you trust me in Walmart, you trust me in stores and in hospitals, you trust me in the streets, you trust me in the car, you trust me everywhere in my society with a concealed firearm, but you don't want Carl Gallups taking a firearm on a school campus where our most prized and precious possessions are, our children, where it's a gun-free zone, where it's a sitting duck syndrome, where kids are killed and could be killed, and you don't trust a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, somebody who's been licensed by the state for decades to carry a gun and have never had any criminal prosecution against me for misusing that, and you don't trust me on a school campus to have a firearm that nobody will know that I even have it unless I need it. What is up with that law? It's a politically correct absurdity. And these kinds of things have to change, brother. Those people that got killed in South Carolina, churches in South Carolina are gun-free zones. In California, they don't, you know, you can't have guns in those buildings and government buildings, and it's hard to get a permit in California. So the criminals, the killers, the terrorists, they know this. And so they look for sitting duck areas. And this is why sheriffs and other people are screaming now saying, you know, America, we need to get smart.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've had 8 years, you know, 2 terms, you know, basically, not quite 8 years. And that was my other contention is, you know, we've got a year to go with Obama as being president, and it just seems crazy. But my point is that we've had seven years or so with the liberals just going, you know, nuts. And America, you know, it's like, what happened? The conservatives just shut up? I don't get it, that part of it. But my point is that we need to turn things around. But do you think we're going to get that in a candidate? You know, and meaning maybe what about Trump? What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me say this. I have not publicly endorsed a candidate for president yet. I'm still watching the whole thing unfold. I can do some analysis on Trump, though, without making an endorsement of him, and that is this. And plus, we can talk about elections if you'd like, and what are Christians to do, and we always wind up voting for the lesser of two evils, and we can talk about that. But let me just talk about this Trump phenomenon. I'm going to tell you why Trump is so insanely popular. It's because most of America is still pretty sane. Our rulers, our leaders, and I use the word ruler on purpose, our rulers are insane. I mean, they are. We have been given over to a depraved mind. Our Supreme Court, our Congress, the people in the White House, they have depraved minds. They can't even think straight anymore. They don't even know American history, American law. The Supreme Court doesn't even follow its own law and its own rulings from one Supreme Court decision to another. I've proven that with the gay marriage ruling right here on your show. The bottom line, though, is that most of America gets it, and they're sick of it, and they're tired of the hypocrisy and the insanity. And along comes a man like Donald Trump, who has serious flaws in his background and even in his past politics. I get that, and I'm not endorsing him, but I'm saying people say, why is he so Teflon? Why is he so bulletproof? Why is he so invincible politically? Why can the media not touch him, even though they've hosed him down with a blowtorch and it just washes off of him? Why is that? Because America gets it, and Trump is saying what Americana has been saying for years. He's tired of political correctness. He's not a wimp. He's not afraid. He's not intimidated by the media. He doesn't need to kiss other people's feet because they're paying him money. He's filthy rich. He's a billionaire. He doesn't need to take political special interest money. And he's out there saying what you and I would say over a cup of coffee in the privacy of our home. He's saying every day in the media. And Americans are going, oh, my gosh, if this guy's for real, God could use him to turn some things around. And, you know, God can use even a godless man.
Yeah, amen. Let me say something about Trump, because we ain't got much time before
the break.
You know, I've said for years, and I said it a couple times on the program, but, you know, more so to myself or in a privacy with others, that for America to turn itself around, we would need a candidate that wouldn't worry about the next election, wouldn't worry about people that gave him money, and would just do what was needed and fix it. And surprisingly, you know, I'm not endorsing Trump, but, you know, he almost seems to fit that bill. And you're right, God can use anybody. But first, Carl, we need to get your website so we can go to break and come back.
Yeah, okay. My website is carlgallups.com, carlgallups.com, and Carl is spelled with a C. Everything there is about me on that site, carlgallups.com.
Yeah, wouldn't you know it, folks, it's all about Carl. Anyway, no, it's all about the Father. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, you know, I don't know about you folks, but I've been really enjoying this holiday season. I mean, of course, a lot of you out there getting ready to celebrate Christmas. You know, we celebrate the dedication of lights, or you know, the dedication, which is Hanukkah. And Hanukkah means dedication in any way, and I believe that was when, according to the Word, that's when Mary was impregnated with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, it's just a wonderful season. We just really came through Thanksgiving, really helping the homeless and poor out. The day of Thanksgiving was an ice storm, as I told you folks before, but yet we were jam-packed with people. And that always brings new people. Every time we come up on Thanksgiving, the aftermath of Thanksgiving is always that it brings a lot of new people
on a regular basis. They're looking for things. And so, folks, you know, if you live in Wichita and you've got some extra coats or something, or you want, some people even send them to us in the mail. We really need coats for these folks. You know, I was approached by, somebody called me the other day. Well, one of the homeless told me that there was this man that had this ministry. He fed once a month, but he wanted to give us some things. And so I contacted him this last week just to show you how things go. And I went over there and talked to him, and he was bragging about, or telling me, I won't call it a brag, bless anybody who does anything, but he was telling me how he did 56,000 meals last year. And, you know, I compared that with the homeless, and they scratched their head or couldn't figure it out. So I asked him, I said, well, how do you do that? He said, well, he passed out some things during the daytime. Well, you know, and he opened his place once a month. He has a huge warehouse. You know, and he has out back, he has three huge semis full of clothing and things and coats. And, you know, I just have to wonder, you know, bless this man and bless him whenever he's giving out stuff. But it just shows you, it's just like the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army, they give out coats. They give them out in January. You know, well, really, January, everybody's already out there freezing. Somebody else has a semi-load of coats. But yet they're not being given out. It's the same way with blankets and other things. They have things. They have warehouses full of it. But, you know, they don't give it out. I don't know what that is. Bless every one of them when they do give it out. I mean, it's a blessing for anybody that does. Lifts the smallest little finger to help the homeless and poor. It's a blessing. My thought is just that it's bureaucracy. You know, it must be. Why else wouldn't they be giving these things out just immediately, just as they're needed, you know? And that's what we do. When you bring in something as a donation to Messiah's Branch, we've got a clothing closet. We don't direct who goes in there and out. We have a clothing closet. People just walk in and take what they need off the rack. And, you know, if there's a coat there, they get a coat, you know? And they're really respectful of each other, as they don't usually take what they don't need. But, you know, we have that open policy. We need blankets. We need sleeping bags. We need more gloves. We've got lots of hats right now. Praise the Potter. I don't know how exactly that happened. But we're about to run out of over-the-counter medications and so on and so forth. So, folks, you know, if you live in Wichita, you can bring some of these things by. Just call me, and if you want to, and I'll arrange a time to meet with you, or just come by when we're open. It'd be a blessing because it is your city. You know, these folks are your neighbors. A lot of these folks, you know, they don't, it's not that they're some bum pushing a cart. They lost their job because of this Obama administration, and I will blame it on Obama. We have so many people off work, that joke of 5% unemployment is just that, a joke. We have so many, we got over 93 million people, I think it is, out of the workforce. There's 330 million, I think, somewhere like that in the United States. So you got over 25% and less than a third of the people in the United States are out of work. Now imagine that. And so, you know, point being is the people come to our place. Why? Because we treat them with love. You know, we treat them with respect. We give them relationships. We minister to their needs. And so when they have that special need, and they cry out and they want to know about Messiah, they want to know why you're different. Because you're supposed to reflect Messiah. We look different to them because we are different from them. We reflect Messiah. We're the same people, whether we're there or wherever we're at. We treat them with respect. And if we run into them on the street, I don't shun them. I stop and I say hi, hello to them. And, you know, unlike people in an agency, and I'm not trying to down the agency, but I'm saying, we give a relationship. In an agency, if somebody runs into the homeless and they're not at their work, so to speak, they don't even get near them. But, you know, the point is we give them love, we give them respect, and what you give goes directly to those people. So pray about it. We do really need help in your season, because December is our slowest month of the year, and I know that the reason for that is you know, we're just different than other people or whatever, but it's just like this guy, back to that guy with the warehouse. I said, well, what are you doing for December 25th? You know, and this is a guy who does, of course, celebrates Christmas. And I said, what are you doing for December 25th? He says, oh, nothing. He said, too many people were open on that day. And I said, really? You know, well, you know what, brother? I told him, I said, it's like this.
there's nobody is open on December 25th, including the stores. Nobody is open. No, not anybody. Nobody's open. Because even though it's a, you know, it's a Christian holiday, and most of these people out here that our agencies try to claim as being Christian backing, they don't open on December 25th. And so we always open on December 25th, and we usually have twice the number of people in there, which means there's only standing room only. You know, it's second to while Thanksgiving's usually busiest. This year, I think that December 25th will be the busiest because of the fact that I'm not seeing an ice storm coming on that day. And so we'll probably have over twice or three times the amount of people that we actually have chairs for. I don't care. We'll feed them, you know, as we do every December 25th. We feed them and take care of them until the overflow is open. But the point is, pray about it. If you live in Wichita, you need to help. And if you don't live in Wichita and you want to support our ministry, we'll pray about that also. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And again, folks, if you're listening to me in Wichita, I am not downing any agency out there, anybody that even gives a nickel to the homeless. I am not downing them. I just wish they would organize together and do it in maybe a little different manner. I don't know. I'm just talking. Anyway, we're now back with Pastor Carl Gallup. You still with me, Carl?
I'm still here. And by the way, I love your ministry, and I agree with all of your philosophy and your appeal. But I also agree wholeheartedly with you that Jesus probably was conceived at Hanukkah. And I think, and you probably know this, of course, that the Bible has the formula that tells us how that could be.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Well, I don't have the breakdown in front of me, but it is really interesting. And if anybody wants to email me, I'll send it to you. But it is. And so, what better thing?
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about whatever you want, but if you want to talk about it, I can tell you off the top of my head what the formula is.
well, let's have a little bit of that. It's a good season. I just love having you on, but go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm not trying to direct the program. I just heard you say that, and I said, wow, listen to my Pastor Dan, my brother Dan. He's got it. Well, very quickly, and I'll make it simple because it can be complex, and you need it kind of broken down on a PowerPoint. But the bottom line is, in the first chapter of Luke, it tells us that Zechariah was in the temple, and it says he was performing his ministries under the course of Abijah. Now, that's very important because what we find out is that Zechariah, of course, goes in to do his duties, and that's where the angel appears to him and says that your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a child, and you'll call him John, and he'll lead the way of the Lord. And, of course, Zechariah didn't believe the angel, and the angel struck him dumb and couldn't speak. But we know that after he came out, it says he went home, and the child was conceived. So sometime after Zechariah came out of his temple duties, then Elizabeth bore that conceived that child. Now, probably he didn't go home that day, you know, and they didn't conceive,
yeah.
but within a week or two, let's say. All right, but here's the thing. Then right after that, it says, on the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And, of course, then the inference is that Mary then conceived when? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And it says that she went to see Elizabeth on that sixth month. And the two of them talked about the children that were in their wombs, one foretold by God, the other one given by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, so all we have to do is to find out when Zechariah came out of that temple duty. And lo and behold, the Scripture tells us he was serving under the course of Abijah. When we go back to Chronicles, and I think it's 2 Chronicles, and I don't remember the chapter right now off the top of my head, but I can find it. But when you go back to Chronicles, there's actually a listing of the courses of the priestly duties. And guess what? There's a course called the Course of Abijah. And it's the 8th week in. And these guys would serve for 1 week. And so in the 8th week in, now when was the first week? Well, that starts with Passover, which is to be the first week of the first Levitical and ecclesiastical calendar, the first of the feast of the Lord, Passover. So it all starts around our March or April. Well, 8 weeks in would put him coming out somewhere in June, and probably a few weeks later, you know, he would be with his wife, and they would conceive John. So 6 months from then is when Mary would conceive, and 6 months from June puts it right in the latter part of December, middle to latter part of December, which is right when Hanukkah is.
Yeah, amen. And what better name for it? You know, it's the, they call it the feast rededication of the temple, but the feast of lights. And Yeshua is the light that came into the world. So it's just fantastic.
And what's even more exciting, and I know you know this, but the New Testament speaks of Hanukkah. In John chapter 10, it, the very first verse, it says that Jesus went up to the temple at the feast of dedication. Well, that's Hanukkah. And it says, then it says, it was winter, and he goes into the temple, and he starts teaching, etc. And that's when he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and they shall never perish, for my Father has given them to me, and no one can take them out of, who my Father gives to me will be mine, and no one can take them out of my Father's hands. And the next thing that happens is the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they pick up stones to stone him, and he said, for which of my miracles do you stone me? And they said, right there in John chapter 10, while he's standing in the temple, on Hanukkah, the Son of God, he's standing in the temple, and they said, we don't stone you for any miracle. We stone you because you, a mere man, have just claimed to be God. So Jesus Christ, on Hanukkah, in the temple courts, proclaims himself to be God.
Wow. That,
God with us.
No matter how many times that we talk, but I talk about the story and read the story, it just, I get, you know, goosebumps and hairs stand up on me every time, and just like now. So, you know, it's such a wonderful thing, and, you know, that's the way that I am. I just wish that people would read more with their Bible, you know, and spend some more time with it, and just look kind of beyond what, you know, they're traditionally spoon-fed all the time, and just look for themselves. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what's even cooler than all of that? And that is, we know he was in the course of Abijah. And as you read the scriptures, you also discover that they had 48 courses, and each of the priestly lines were required to serve twice a year. So if he was serving his second course, that would put him even further into the year. And when you do the math on that, it turns out then that he would have been serving in September or October. And so that means John would have been conceived somewhere around September, October, and which means that Jesus would have been conceived somewhere around Passover. 9 months later, he would have been born, and 9 months later is, guess what? December, late December. So either course he was serving, Jesus was either conceived on Hanukkah or he was born on Hanukkah.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Absolutely. And if you do the math of 9 months later after you know, being conceived at Hanukkah, you pretty much come up with the Feast of Tabernacles. So, you know, they're all wonderful things. And one of the best persons that talks about it, and there's a lot of people that do, is Mark Blitz. He has a wonderful feast video that talks all about that. But anyway, Carl, let's switch back over. And thank you for your wonderful thing on Hanukkah. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Well, my concern is now that we've had this, you know, we've seen this terrorist attack in America, what do you think? Do you think that we're, in your opinion, do you think we're headed for more trouble before Obama gets out of office? Because his lax policies seem to have led us to this place.
Yeah, well, let me speak to it spiritually, and let me speak to it just pure humanly. Humanly, we're in for a world of hurt unless somebody can rein him in. And Congress has got to step up. He is out of control, in my humble opinion. He speaks untruth. continually about what's happening in the world, what's happening with ISIS, what he's up to with importing Muslims into our nation, what we can and cannot do legally about that. Trump is speaking truth, and Obama calls Trump a liar, or Obama's minions do. So humanly speaking, yeah, we're going to see far worse happen soon if this is not reined in. Now, I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet. I'm not a naysayer here, but I am a man of reason and rational understanding, and I can add 2 + 2 and get 4. Now, spiritually speaking, the answer is the same. We're in for a world of hurt if we don't repent, brother. We have got to turn our hearts to God. You can hear our nation now crying out for a king to save us, crying out for somebody to do something correct. Our nation has been given over to a depraved mind. We asked for a Saul, and we got a Saul. And if America would repent, beginning in the pulpits and down to the pews, I think God could put his hand over us and give us a little relief. But if we don't repent, if we insist on calling two men a marriage and two women a marriage, if we insist on slaughtering our babies in the womb, if we insist on not speaking up, being milquetoast Christians, not voting, not getting involved, not using the gift God has given us, then we're in for more and worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm just praying that, you know, where we can see this revival is we need to see it from the pulpit. We need the pastors to stand up and say what you just said to their congregations because, you know, I think that's where it's at, don't you?
Oh, exactly. And I've been screaming this for years. And, of course, I've been thoroughly spit upon by by the mainstream media, the leftist, and a whole lot of pastors who haven't liked me on TV and radio saying these things because it convicts them. And my latest book, Be Thou Prepared, I've got a whole section in there that talks about the pulpits losing their power. And then I quote the George Barna polls wherein he interviewed thousands of conservative evangelical pastors over several years. And Barna, he indicates, and I've got it all referenced in my book, that a full 90% of the conservative pastors are not preaching and teaching the things like you and I are talking about. And they're not preaching and teaching the whole Word of God when it comes to the pertinent, prescient issues of our day. And then he did another poll wherein he polled people in the pew, tens of thousands of people in conservative pews, and he asked them, what are the things you want to hear most from your pastors? And guess what? It was all the stuff that their pastors are not talking about. So when you and I sit on the radio and we lament over the pastors who are not doing their due diligence, that's not just you and me spouting our mouth. That's not us trying to lift ourselves up and say, well, you know, we're doing it right and no one else is. No, there are pastors and talk radio hosts and Christians who are doing it right. But the statistics and the studies and the research proves the vast majority of the pastors and people are not. They're not talking about it. They're not preaching it. They're not teaching it. They're not repenting. And if it doesn't start, judgment starts in the house of God, brother. If we don't start the repenting and the turning back, it's not going to happen. And if we don't turn back to God, the Lord will remove his hand from us.
Yeah, amen. Now, you know what? While I wasn't a church individual when I was real young, you know what I'm saying? You know, my mom raised 4 kids by herself, and once in a great while we got to church. But I do remember the messages that, you know, was in the house, you know, of God then. And, you know, they were strong. They preached about sin and everything, you know. And it just seems like I just can't figure out how those pastors, now it's turned over to these pastors that don't preach about sin and all that. I don't understand what happened. Any idea what happened?
Yes.
Why did they get quiet?
Yes, but the dynamics are multifaceted. But you've got to remember, now, I'm 60 years old now, but I came to my church when I was 30. I've been preaching the same way for 30 years. The things I'm talking about now that are shocking the nation are things, number one, that I've been preaching for 30 years. It's just in the last 5 or 6 years have I been given a big microphone, a pulpit, TV, and radio,
right. And
best-selling books. I mean, God has given me that. And so, but the other thing is, you know, not only have I been preaching the same stuff for 30 years, But 30 years ago, when I first started, I kind of got in on the tail end of it, but the stuff I was preaching, the stuff I'm preaching now, would have been considered commonplace 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. Now, I'm considered a radical. Because I say, listen, the Bible is the only word of God. Listen, Islam is a demonic religion. Listen, Jesus is the only way of salvation. Listen, pulling babies out of a mother's womb is godless. It is horrific.
Right.
Listen, calling homosexuality normal is an abomination. This kind of preaching and teaching is what the Word of God has been doing for thousands of years, and it was commonplace a half a century ago, but now it's considered radical. So what's happened, brother, to answer your question, now we've got pastors in the pulpits that are 20, 30, 40 years old, and even 50, but they were raised up on political correctness, evolution, abortion being the law of the land, and sexual depravity being the normal law of human culture. And so they've been immersed in it, and they've been immersed under weak preaching, and they are terrified. They've got big kingdoms. They've got big buildings with million-dollar debts, multi-million-dollar debts, and they know that if they preach the whole Word of God, they're going to make some of their fancy, fluffy people mad, and they're going to leave, and they're going to take their money, and they can't pay for the big buildings and live their luxurious lives. And that's what's going on, brother.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I do know that, you know, you have, it's like this, if you go to one big church, you know, and you don't like what they're preaching, you can go right down the street, you know, in a big city, and you can find one that will preach the way that you like, you know.
Oh, yeah. We're living in the day. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, that's fine.
I'm sorry, there's a little delay here. I didn't mean to step on you. But I was just going to say, no, we're living in the prophetic days of that men will gather unto themselves teachers that will tickle their itching ears, brother. That's where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, folks, there are enough of us out there that if you just start speaking forward yourself, you don't really need your pastor to do it. Start with your family and work yourself out. Believe me, the sound word of our Bible and our Lord will get through to people because that's what it is. It is the Word of God. Well, Carl, I really appreciate having you on. And, you know, again, tell them just real brief. You got about a minute and a half, but be thou prepared. We always come back to that book, but really, out of all your books, I love them all, but that's the most important one for them to get right now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, by the way, Final Warning is in audiobook, and The Rabbi That Found Messiah is also a documentary DVD. Magic Man in the Sky is a book. Be Thou Prepared, my latest one, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble, comes out of my 40 years of cop and ministry experience helping people understand the biblical understanding of being prepared. It answers all the tough questions that people are asking, and I mean all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I hate to get you on here and start to talk about some of these things because I could just simply say, well, I know it's in the book, Carl, you know, but because it is in the book.
It is.
There. And so, folks, you should get the book and read it and share it with your loved ones. And, Carl, thanks for being on with me. I appreciate you. And you be blessed and have a good season.
Thank you, Dan. God bless you as well. I can't wait till we're together again. The Lord bless you and keep you, my brother.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallops. I really like Pastor Carl. And, you know, he tries to tell it like it is, you know. Some people just don't do that. But, you know, we need to get out there. We need to be a voice. We are supposed to let Messiah work through us. You know, however Christianity got to this place where it seems to have forgot that there is only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. So that means that these people that you're being politically correct with are not saved. They are damned. You got that? They're damned. Because unless they have Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, if you will, they are damned. It's the end of the story, and some of these people may be, I have best friends that are this or that. Well, you better witness to your best friends if you want to see them in the afterlife, because the only place they are going to go is to the lake of fire. And that's the fact. What happened to Christianity? Christianity is supposed to be saying that. They said it when I was a kid. They say it in the Bible, and it hasn't changed due to political correctness. But that's where it's at, and that's why this country is What's wrong with stopping the ungodly from coming into this country till we figure out what we do? You know what the Bible says? It says that everybody that comes into your nation, it talks about it in the Torah, one law for one people, that they should assimilate to us, assimilate to the Word of God, in other words, become saved. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really, really do need your help. You must remember, though, there is only one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins, and contrary to what so many other people say, is he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights. That's the only sign given. Through him is the only way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you have the Holy Spirit in you unless you're a blessing to others? Pray about it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.